that's your prayer tonight, that he's here. Tonight I'd like to speak about law versus grace and the law of the spirit of the life of Jesus Christ. We'll read this first verse and we'll go to prayer and then you guys can be seated. Romans 8, 1 through 17. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Heavenly Father, we truly hope, Lord, that the word that you've given to us will create life tonight, Father. It will be able to bring us closer to you, Father, as our heart's desire. Help us to reiterate, Father, what your prophet Paul spoke, Father, and what Brother Branham also spoke, Father, and the things that we could say to help, Father, we pray now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. In verse number 2, for the law of the spirit of the life in Jesus Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness, he was a perfect sacrifice, amen, likeness of the sinful flesh, and for sin condemn sin. What do you condemn? There's only one sin, unbelief. What did he believe? That if God laid him down, that he would raise him back up. Same promise that we have, amen, in the flesh. He proved that even though he was virgin born, that we could do the same thing, amen, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in who? Us, amen. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. 9 out of 10 people will choose a way that allows them to be able to have something to do with this process, or anything per se to do with God's word. And that's simply not the case. All we have to do is just get ourselves out of the way and simply believe what he told us. Amen. It's a free gift. All you have to do is accept it. That's about the only thing you have to do in anything that has to do with will. It's a gift. All you have to do is say, I accept it. The prisoner that Abraham Lincoln gave the pardon to, he didn't accept his gift. So then it wasn't for him, and they put him to the firing squad. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And what is the law of God? That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. What law? God's law of grace through Jesus Christ. So when they that are in the flesh cannot please God, nothing we can do within ourselves, even as good as it may seem, can please God. So when you come to salvation or approach the gift of the Holy Ghost, some say you have to speak in tongues. Some say you have to shout. You have to join a church or go to this certain group. That's not the case. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Amen. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. What did he do? Nothing. All he did was believe the promise that God gave him. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit, what? That dwells already in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you go through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, where we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And from questions and answers, Brother Branham, I got a lot of quotes, so I got to get going. From questions and answers, Brother Branham says, Paul said, my flesh wants always to yield that. Your flesh does too. See, but the law of the Spirit of God in your heart overcomes the flesh and makes the body obey what the heart says to do. Look, then if you will do that for a sinner, then won't that work for sickness too? The law of the Spirit of God in the heart that knows that by his stripes we were healed. They stand with the power and make that sickness in the body obey them because it's a devil. There you are. That's got cream on it that deep. I tell you, that is it. See? Now the law of sin and death works in your flesh, but the law of the Spirit of life works in your heart. So your heart, your spirit in your heart will make your body obey what it says to do. That's exactly right. Now, that's what Paul said. Always, the flesh, I'm too tired. I'm too unable. I'm not sufficient. I can't do it. I said to Lois or Dolores or somebody that's been talking to me about the Holy Ghost about something other like that, I said, what made me feel that way just at the time that I should have felt good? I said, the devil. He said he seen you just getting ready to receive it. He said, I'll put a little damper on her. Whew. Fan her down a little bit, you know, kind of cool down a little, see? But oh my, that's when you claim your God-given right. That's what Paul was meaning, see? Always when he said, when I do good, evil is present. Abraham staggered not at the promise, even though he couldn't see it. The same promise was given to Abraham. The same promise was given to Jesus. He said, I will raise that body up. We have the same promise. And from restoration of the bride tree, Brother Branham says, to restore means to bring back or to restore, claim, can be enforced. Now, to bring anything back to its rightful owner where it belongs. There, some way it went away, that's its rightful owner and can wander around anywhere. But to restore, it is to bring back to who really owns it or to bring back to its natural estate where it was at the first time. Bring it back into its natural condition. And in order to do this, we have the right to enforce, if there is a law, to enforce this rightful condition of restoration to restore. Like if somebody stole some property and they're holding the property captive, then you can take the law and go to this person and the law forces or enforces this person to restore this property back to its natural owner in its liable first estate. Enforcement, oh, what a text. How I'd like to have 2 days on that. Now, Brother Neville preached for us. I'm not going to talk to you, teach a Sunday school lesson, so I'll get to continue on, I hope, with that, what he had. Enforce. Then we have the privilege to enforce upon Satan the claims that God has given us. For God has a law, and his word is law. And God is this word made certain claims to the church. Therefore, we have the right to force these claims upon Satan and say, give it back. And he said to do it because we can take God's agent, the Holy Spirit, go right down on our knees and say, it is thus saith the Lord. He has got to give it up. That's all. Because the Holy Spirit is there to make him do it. The law of the land is to enforce. It's by the land for the land. Amen. But the law of the Spirit of God is to force Satan to give up that which he has unrightfully, deceitfully taken from God. Souls of men, He took from God souls of women, children, sickness of the body he placed upon the people. Where God made them in his image to be like him, and the church is given the rightful legal rights by the Bible to take the Holy Spirit and to enforce upon him. Amen. From Resurrection of the Bride Tree, Brother Branham says, there was a law in Christ. That law is in men. You can bury him to the deepest grave or the deepest sea or the lowest hell. There's a law of the Spirit of God that will raise him up again. Amen? A bird has a law. Now, its body is material. It's earthbound. It sets on the earth here, but it has a law within it. The way it spreads its wings, it can fly plumb out of sight. That's against science. They claim it is earthbound. Gravitation has its hold here, but it can defy gravity, lift itself right off of it and go right on, because he has to put that law that is in the word into work, and it is built to possess that law. Now I'm beginning to feel really religious here. Now we have a law, the law of life in us. Only thing you have to do, you are made and born and placed here in the body of Christ as sons and daughters of God. You don't have to knock down to the devil. We've got a law. That's the law of the Holy Spirit. The only thing you know or have to do is know how to let go and let God. You keep fighting at it, see, and it won't never work. When you let go and let God, that's all it takes, amen? If the fish said, well, I'll catch my breath real good and I'll breathe up a little oxygen in me and I'll see if I can go down now. He does that and he'll burst open. See, he's a fish. Just swim. God gave us a promise. All we have to do when Satan says, oh, no, you can't have that. We are sons and daughters of God. Who are you to tell us what we can do? Nonsense. Step right back on him. The bird says, I'll see how fast I can run down here and maybe I'll take off. No, he won't do it. He'll fall down. See, he's got to know how to control, how that law can control him. Not us, but him that wills, and wills what? His word. So whatever you have to say to the devil, as long as it's in God's word and you know that it's beyond a shadow of a doubt been revealed to you, that he can't stand against that. And the same way it is with us. It isn't what we fight and what we pull and hurry and on. Oh, if I don't get this, if I don't get that, that's not it. Is to know that the law of life is in you and you just let go and let God. Then he takes you to your healing, takes you to your baptism of the Spirit, or anything that he promised. Any claim that he's given is yours, and by letting go and letting God. Amen. And Brother Branham says, in three kinds of believers, nature has a law. There is a law of nature. There is no way at all to get around it. It's a law of nature. And then there is a law of the Spirit. There is also no way of getting around that. I was speaking to a couple this afternoon about you cannot totally annihilate anything. Human beings cannot annihilate. They can tear down, but not annihilate. And someone said, well, what about taking a piece of paper? Burning a piece of paper, does that annihilate it? No, sir. It only breaks the chemicals apart. The heat of the fire, it goes right back into the gases and, you know, the ashes that it was. What it was in the beginning. You cannot annihilate. And if the world stood long enough, the same gases and the chemicals was in that paper could come right back and be a piece of paper again. That's exactly. You can't annihilate. God then, if there is a resurrection to everything, back again and no annihilation, there is a resurrection of the just. Yeah. And we are got to come back. That's all there is to it. There is no way at all of doing. No matter if you're burned up, if you're drowned, whatever takes place, they cannot annihilate. Just remember, every part of you was here when God spoke the world into existence. He put your body here right then, and there is nothing can take it away except God. It's all back into his hands again, see? And he is the one that the Creator was, the one who made the promise. So we're sure that there is eternal life, and we have the assurance in our heart that now we have everlasting life, eternal life that cannot die in us now. Amen? And Brother Branham says in the Church Age book from the Philadelphian Church Age, "These things saith he that is true." This is a good one. Now, this word "true" is a very wonderful word. It does not mean true just in the sense that is opposite to false. It expresses the perfect realization of an idea as contrast to its partial realization. For example, we call that Jesus said in John 6:32, "Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." Think about the phrase perfect realization whenever Brother Branham via Brother Vell in this Church Age book is saying the word "true." John 15:1, "I am the true vine. I am the perfect vine. For Christ is not entered into the holy places with made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." 1 John 2:8, "Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth." Since the word indeed expresses perfect realization as against the idea of a partial realization, as illustrated in these verses, we can now understand as never before the anti-type contrast with the type, and the substance with the shadow. Take the example now of a manna from heaven. God sent down an angel, bread from heaven for Israel, but that bread did not satisfy. It was only good for one day. Those who ate it were hungry again the next day. If it was left around, it became contaminated. But Jesus is the true bread from heaven, wherefore manna was just a type. And if any man eats that bread that came from heaven, he will never hunger again. He does not need to come back and eat again. The moment he partook, he had eternal life. Here indeed was reality. No need any longer for a shadow. No need for a partial salvation. Here is the whole of it. Just like Jesus isn't a part of God, he is God. No one could deny that Israel had light. They were the only people who had light as a nation. It was as when Egypt was so dark that one could feel it, but in the homes of the Israelites there was light. But now the true light has come. The light of the world is Jesus. Moses and the prophets brought the light by means of Scripture relative to the Messiah. Thus Israel had light, but now the fulfillment of the light has come. And what was but glowing word has now broken forth into the brightness of God manifested among his people. Amen. That's where we're supposed to be. That which was in part, Brother Branham talked about, all through the ages. Every messenger only had a part, but we have everything here available for us. And we are the ones that are supposed to manifest this. As the pillar of fire gave light at night and was a wonderful, now light and life were manifest in the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Israel used to take the red heifer and sacrifice her upon the altar for the remission of sins. For a year, the sins of the guilty was covered, but that covering could not take away the desire for sin. It was not a perfect offering. It was a shadow until the real thing come along. So each year the man would sacrifice, and each year would come back because he had still the same desire to sin. The life of the animal atoned for his sin, but being an animal blood that was the shed and the animal life that was given, it could not come back upon the man. If it had come back, it still would not have availed. But when Christ, the perfect substitute, was given, and his blood was shed, then the life that was in Christ came back upon the repentant sinner, and the life being the perfect life of Christ, sinless and righteous, then the guilty one could go free, for he had no desire to sin. The life of Jesus had come back upon him. That's what it meant in Romans 8:2, as we read earlier. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of the sin of death. But the Jews back there in the time of Jesus did not want to accept that sacrifice. The blood of bulls and goats made nothing perfect. It was once God's ordained method, but now Christ, having appeared in flesh and by the shed blood of his own blood, has put away sin, and by that offering of himself has made us perfect. The Jews would not take that, but what about the Philadelphian age? And yes, the other ages too. Did they really accept this reality in Christ? No, sir. Even though Luther brought the truth of justification, the Romanist church and its Eastern counterpart, the Orthodox church, still clung to works as something that you could do. No works are fine, but they do not save. They don't make you perfect. It is Christ or perish. And it is not even Christ and works, it's Christ alone. This age began the years of Arminianism that does not believe in Christ as the reality. It does not sing of nothing but the blood, for it sings of nothing but the blood and my own conduct. Now I believe in good conduct. If you are saved, you will do righteously. We have already gone over that, but let me tell you now, salvation is not Jesus plus, it is Jesus alone. Salvation is of the Lord. From the start to finish, it is all God. Let his life be in me. Let it be his blood that cleanses me. Let it be his spirit that fills me. Let it be his word in my heart and mouth. Let it be his stripes that heal me. Let it be Jesus and Jesus alone. Not by works of righteousness, which I have done. No, sir. Christ is my life. Amen. And from a paradox, Brother Branham says, now we find Joshua here representing grace in some propitiation that it could not exist in the same time that the law was in existence. Law and grace can't go together. It's like oil and water. It's not even possible. But you see through the Bible, God pulls up mercy and grace here, and then he applies the law here. Where are we at is when we get to the end of this message here. Neither does any message that forwards the people on ever conclude with a past message. It will not do it. That's where you have trouble today. Jesus said, does any person take a new piece of garment and put it into an old, or put new wine into old bottles? They perish. It bursts them open. They cannot stand it. And Joshua could not at all become into his ministry until after Moses was gone. So you see the very first verse here, my servant is dead. Now arise and take this people to the promised land. Moses, representing the law, had served its time. It's the law had served its time. They started out really with grace to begin with. Before they had law, they had grace while they were in Egypt. Without law, no one down there was just the priest and so forth, but they didn't have any law. Moses brought those out. The law had not yet been given. Grace provided them a prophet. And as grace provided an atonement, the sacrificial lamb, we're getting into that this week on the sacrifice, the blood, because there lays your healing and so on. The atonement had been provided before there was any law. Grace was before law, during law, and after law. So there was Joshua representing grace, was right along with law, but could not enforce as long as law was in its proper place. And so has the church world in this last day. It's come along. It's played its part. But there is coming a time where it must cease. It must do it. There has got to be an Ephesians also of this journey, just as there was of the other journeys. There has to come an Ephesians, an Ephesus, an Ephesian of this journey, watch. Wherein that law could never save a sinner, as I have pointed out, it could not. Therefore, the promised land represented a day of grace. See, he could not take them in into that journey. And if you notice, in that journey, they had three stages, their journey. First was the preparation by faith down in Egypt under the sacrificial lamb. And when they crossed the Red Sea into the wilderness, a separation, which represented another stage of the journey. Because under the preparation, when they all got ready, when they come to the Red Sea, there was a failure again. The people did not believe. After seeing many things that God did, they still did not believe. And God opened up the Red Sea and took them forth, which is where that were taught that all the people were baptized unto Moses under the cloud and at the sea. Now they were baptized, repented, and were baptized, and come out to walk in a new life, in a new land, in a newness of journey, among new people, and the hand of God upon them. But it finally came to the place in all this walk that they had that they was not satisfied with their walk of grace. They had to come to something that they could do themselves. Always getting ahead of God or thinking that we have to do something. The only thing we have to do is be ready whenever His Holy Spirit tells you to do something or to say something. It sounds like you're kind of cheating, really. Like you don't have to do nothing. He has done it all for us. If I gave you a gift, Brother Peter, that was worth some money, say a rifle, and you insisted, and you ran in your office, and you grabbed the checkbook, and he's like, "Oh no, how much did you pay for that? I'll give you the money." It wouldn't be a gift, no, would it? And that's the same thing we do to God whenever we try to apply works in something that He's already done for us. It's already been paid for. The work's already been done. But yet we'll run in there and we'll try to get our checkbook and we'll try to pay God for something. You can't pay God for that. And why would you want to do that? You rob Him of His ability to be a father. Now, that's where people think today of divine healing or some other work of grace of God. That's there is something that you have to do. There is nothing you have to do but believe. Just believe God. And from an absolute, Brother Branham says, God is right. His word is right. Others are not right. That's right, as long as they stay with the word. But when they leave the word, then they leave God. Because God is watching over His word to do what? To vindicate it. We don't do that. We may be a vessel He uses, but He does the work. He vindicates it. He brings it to perfect realization. He's got to make it real. He's got to make it act. That's why you people are hungering for a revival. It's time for these things to be here. You see the churches in our ranks running around, screaming and hollering, you know, dancing in the aisles and around the pulpit. Nonsense. Those things which were in part are done away with. Now, it doesn't mean you won't get excited and run around the building, I guess, or whatever. But you can tell it's carnal. It's made up. And they're trying to do what David did and get ahead of the ark. Don't do that. Every time it is wrong. But the trouble of it is we got so many absolutes, we don't know where we're tied to. Amen? Now I feel religious, see, right? I want to get that out of my system, right? We got so many ties, one pulling this way and one pulling that way and one against the other. How do the people know what to do? And the pressure of the Holy Spirit coming down, trying to find a place to move Himself into that He can work word by word, Now, the Pentecostal people believe when the gifts began to restore to the church of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking with new tongues, and you stay right with that, you believe that? Now, that's all right, but why do you stop there? Why do you stop there? When Israel was on the journey to the Promised Land and when they stopped in the wilderness, they stayed there for 40 years. And just as the journey out of every promise, the whole complete Promised Land. And the Pentecostal people, when they crossed over dancing and shouting like Miriam and them, when they hit the wilderness, they done the same thing that Moses did, or should I say Israel did. They wanted law. They wanted something to do. Grace had already provided everything. They wanted something they could do, have doctors, PhDs, and LLDs, men over men. And they got it. And they what they did, because they got it, they journeyed there until every one of them died. That's right. And God took two men and sent them over, Caleb and Joshua. Why? They was about only 40 miles or Brother Branham says one day's journey, was all they had to walk. Why, they was just a day or two away from it, but they waited back there for 40 years till they got all that stuff out of them, till all them people died out. Well, it's just about time for a change now. We started organizing, doing the very same thing that we could come out of and brought it back, right back. And make this a type post, and this an absolute. Rules upon rules, and men's, and deeds. It's a Nicolaitan spirit. And if they don't believe it just exactly this way, bless God, we're not even in it at all. So what have you done? Sit still and made members. And what does the members know? Turned in to the word of God, and they see something happening. That's exactly the word of God. Why, they don't know which way to turn. They go ask some bishop or some presbyter, what is this and what is that? And what Brother Branham's saying there is we should be to the place where it's fine to ask your pastor for advice or something that's in the word, but you should be in it yourself. You should be able to see from something you hear in Brother Branham's tape or read in his word and be able to know exactly, I need to act on that. Be led of the Spirit. An absolute. Instead of being ready on call and full of the Holy Ghost, you cannot live this message. Is that a shocker? You cannot live this message. Kind of an oxymoron a little bit. Brother Samuel, Brother Joseph's assistant, and my uncle were talking years ago. This is long before I actually was in the ministry. And they were talking about like the difficulties and the challenges of the rule upon rule, the laws, this and that. And they looked at me and they're like, well, What do you think? And I said, you can't live this message. I can't live this message. But I know one that can. If he's in me, I don't have to force myself to do what's right. I don't have to force myself to do what I need to do or say what I say. Why? Because the life is in you. But if you don't got the life in you, you can't live this message. Not a chance. That's where carnality and impersonation comes in. I go to church. I pay my tithes. I wear short hair. I have no tattoos. Does that qualify? Nope. And if you were Abraham's seed, it's a finished product. Those who foreknew, who he justified, those who he justified, he has already glorified. What you scared about? That's right. And the Antichrist in the last days, according to Revelation, deceived all that dwelled upon the face of the earth whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Since the last revival? No. Before the foundation of the world. That's when your name was put in the Lamb's Book of Life. When the Lamb was slain, God spoke the word. It was in his thinking. It was in his thought. He spoke the word, and everything happened just at that time. This is just God's seed materializing. Amen. That's our job. Perfect realization. We have every truth that's ever been in this Bible. And it's our job to materialize when the light passes us. It's our job to realize that's perfect and step into it. All that God was, he poured into his Son. All that the Son was, he poured into his church. And the church is every member. Doesn't mean I do all the works or you do all the works. But when the light crosses your path and you have that job to do, if you're of him, you will do it. Amen? That's all. His word's coming down. Now, when the light of God flashes across that, quickly that seed recognizes it because it's born of God. It's Abraham's seed, foreknowledge by God. That's why the light flashes. It catches that seed. We've had a revival. Joel said, we fuss so much about the latter rain, had movements called latter rain. Latter rain, former rain, inner rain, outer rain. I was reading the other day, do you know what the former rain means in the Hebrew? I can't call it right now. I never wrote it down. It skipped my mind. But former rain, the first rain, means rain of teaching. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. What's the second rain? The second rain is the Spirit that comes upon what has been taught and produces what? We are to materialize. Why is it we had such a revival? Pentecostal, Baptist, all those other trees put forth their buds. As Jesus said, they would be. And what have we hatched out? The Baptist said they got a million more in 44. Look at the Catholic, how they increased. Look at all the denominations. Look at the Pentecost. What did we do? We sowed denominational seeds. We reaped the denominational harvest. Why? The church ought to be on fire for God right now. If there had been a word seed sowed back there, and there would be signs, wonders, miracles, and that church would be together, one heart, one accord, and marching toward Zion for the rapture. That's right. What did we do? We had intellectual speeches instead of the word. We had reasoning against the word and everything else. We've got to get back to the word. We'll do it. God said, I will restore, saith the Lord, and all the years that the cankerworm and the pommelworm eat is going to bloom out in the evening time. There will come forth one with a message. He'll restore the hearts of the faith of the children back to the faith of the fathers. He promised it in Malachi 4 that he would do return them back again. That's why when Brian come back from his family's funeral and he started talking about it, I'd really never heard it about that way. But it's the promise from Abraham. He would raise him back. It's a promise. Do you believe it or not? I'll share just a small testimony with you, and I hope my eyes still stay good. No brag. But over the years, I have gone from a 20/25, 2 years later, gone to 20/20, 2 years, 3 years later, gone to 20/15. You want to know what my eyesight was this year? 20/13. Is that insane? That's crazy. To be getting better, I'm 40. Maybe you forgot up close, huh? Anyways, at least I can still fly and drive. But what I'm saying is, if you believe the promise that he's given to us, at some point here, it's going to start materializing. You say, that's crazy. That's crazy. In Abraham's day, they probably thought he was crazy too. 100 years old, going to have a kid. But it's the promise. And if you believe it, it's exactly the same. Now, that isn't Elijah that was talking of it in the Bible. Jesus said, Matthew 11, if you can receive it, John was the Elias that was to come. Of Malachi 3, behold, I send my messenger before my face. Malachi 3, you find it that. But remember, the Malachi 4, the message comes. The terrible day of the Lord shall come and shall burn up the whole earth, and the righteous shall walk upon the ashes of the wicked. That never happened after John. Now, if that was it, then the scripture has lost its hold. It said something that wasn't so. We've got 2,000 years since then. Does that sound like a long time? That's longer than Abraham's, 40 years? It's been 2,000 years. You think people have kind of like, oh, that this is this fairy tale. 2,000 years still hasn't happened. It will. The word hasn't been burned since. Not at all. Neither has the righteous walked out. I'm sorry, the word, the world. Neither was the righteous walked out upon the ashes of the wicked. But we're still waiting for that something that's going to take the faith and restore the faith of the children back to the original Pentecostal tree. That's the cankerworm eat-up, the Roman Catholics, cankerworm, the caterpillar, all their denominations and creeds is eat it down. God said, I will restore it again in the last days, and it will be restored. God shall send the Holy Ghost in such a way upon the planted word that it will restore. The word of God is a seed that a sower went forth to sow. What was Brother Branham doing here? Where are we? Now, the covenant was given unconditionally. Now, Israel, the seed nature, exchanged that and lost it in Exodus 19. When they made that rash thing to take away the grace and accepted law in its place. You know the biggest time God has ever been hurt? Is when they chose a king, Israel. They chose a king. They didn't want God's way. They wanted man's way. It's happened here in our day too. They don't want God's word. They want an organization. They want rules. They want a perfect church. They want to grow numbers. It's all man-made. The rash thing to take away grace and accepted law in its place. What a rash mistake that Israel made there. Look, God, after he had made that covenant with Abraham, grace had already provided a prophet deliverer for them down in Egypt to carry out the word of Abraham. Remember Moses under the bush. God said, I have heard the cries of my people and I remember my promise. Before there was any law, grace provided it. Grace had provided a sacrifice for their guilt, a lamb. Grace had provided a covenant. Circumcision was already been provided before the law. Grace had provided a pillar of fire to lead them, following a prophet, a security that the prophet had told them the truth. It was the word that he was talking about. They knowed that God promised it, and here was the pillar of fire confirming it. What a double security, amen? Grace had done that. But when they wanted something for themselves that they could do, have their own creeds and denominations, and what more, make Pharisees and Sadducees, and something that they could do, man is always trying to save himself. You can't do that. God has already done it. You just have to accept it and believe it. And from Jehovah Jireh, that was from Jehovah Jireh. The Son was the spoken word. He had a beginning. He was the Word, John 1:1. And he was made manifest. We also are his sons. We are also spoken word, seed. Amen. And we will manifest. Why? Because he promised. What? The same thing. The same life. His life. How? by being born again, that new birth, gives you the right, the power, to become sons of God and daughters of God, which is spoken word. You see, how do you become as his only begotten son? You got to be born again. You believe, you have that experience, and then that becomes the spoken word. And if you really did get a true life change, your life will show it. Amen? Israel became a nation in May of 1948, the 14th. Some of you know a generation is all those people born and living at about the same time, regardless of collectivity. It also is the average period generally considered to be about 20 or 30 years. So has the generation passed since Israel became a nation? No, it hasn't. 1948 plus 20 or 25 years, if you want to take a round number. All of those people born up to in 1973, that's the generation that falls in that category as the Bible depicts, during which children are born or grow up. So I have four generations still alive. Well, counting my kids, maybe five. My parents, my grandparents, myself, and my children. So a generation is quite a while. Being born and have children in kinship, generation is a structural term designating the parent-child relationship. In biology, generational also means biogenesis, reproduction, and procreation. Something to think about on this next quote. All right, from the Mark of the Beast, Brother Branham says, and Jesus said in Matthew 24th chapter, learn a parable. As I started on last night showing you, they asked him three questions and he answered their three questions, but when they wanted to know when the time of his return would be, he said, when you see the fig tree putting forth its buds and all the other trees, know that the time is nigh, even at the door. Now the old hypocrite gets a hold of that and the old unbeliever and said, that generation has already passed. It hasn't passed. My dad was born in 61. He's still here. Because they don't have the spiritual application of the word. Say he lied. He didn't say that the generation then. He said the generation that seen the fig tree put forth its buds. Watch back in Joel, the second chapter, where I preached on here not long ago, the four insects, what the palmer worm left the caterpillar eat, and what the caterpillar left the locust had eaten. You remember preaching, I think it was here in California at the breakfast, I believe, and here in Phoenix, what the Methodist and the Baptist have eaten. What the Baptist left, what the Pentecostal eaten, it tore the whole vine down. It's in part, Brother Branham was talking about, all through the ages. But I will restore, saith the Lord, all. And watch, the same insect and the same thing along in different stages. The palmer worm becomes the caterpillar and so forth and on down. And that's an insect started eating off brotherly love. Taking the Bible and substituting something else. And I gave the four major things and proved it by the scripture. The thing that they eat out, the teaching of the true word of God, brotherly love, Paul said already started in 1 Corinthians 13, all those things, how they eat it up and just eat the church plumb down to the stump. But he said, I will restore, saith the Lord. That's right. All the years that had been eaten, they'd eaten. And all the things that they had done. Notice, Israel, it's always been this fig tree. When you see this fig tree putting forth its buds, what? The generation that sees Israel become a nation. That generation will not pass until all this be fulfilled. Watch. Oh, don't you see it? Here, look at them. Now, God's always had to drive the Jews. They never had the Holy Spirit. they're sheep. We're sheep too, but we have the Holy Spirit. God has always had to drive the Jews. They never had the Holy Spirit. Many of them wouldn't even believe their prophets, their messengers. They had to drive them. That's what he's going to have to be the Gentile church. He's going to have to break down these denominational barriers where we're letting communism start eating around us. And then we'll have to come together. God will make his word fulfilled because the covenant is unconditional. Not if I will, I will, but I have already done it. That's right. Oh, I love that. Amen. That just makes me feel religious. Notice what he did here. Now, if you will, I will, that ended when Adam broke his covenant and Israel broke their covenant from Exodus 19 and so forth. But this is the covenant of grace, the law that we're talking about today. God swore, told Abraham, he swore by himself that it would be thus. And he took an oath by himself, no greater. So through the true seed of Abraham is Jesus Christ, which is the grace of God. And no more law to it. No, sir. Law's not connected with it at all. You're above the law. Over the law, it's love. Love is above the law. Grace. Law came by Moses. Grace and truth come by Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we're here to the bonus quotes. So that means we're close to the end. These are from Brother Peter in our chat. All right, from things that are to be. Now, if we are those attributes of God, we cannot live by creeds. We cannot live by denominationalism. We must live by the word, because the bride is part of the bridegroom, like any wife is part of their husband. Therefore, we must be the word bride. And what is that word bride? The manifestation of the hour. The bride, not a creed or denomination, but a living oracle of God. Who? You and me? That's pretty serious, don't you think? A living attribute of God. Displayed to the world the attributes of God. In the formation of the bride that is to be expressed in this hour that we're living, now living. Amen, that's pretty deep. From perfect faith, now watch. He has appeared to us in the same form that he did to them in the Old Testament, and in the same as he did in the New Testament. And he has showed by the same word the same Christ. And I declare to you that Christ is the Holy Ghost. And the word Christ means the anointed one. Just a person that's anointed. That is Christ, the anointed one. How many knows that's true? The anointed one. There would be a man that would be anointed. Anointed with what? The Bible said in Acts 2 that Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, anointed with the Holy Ghost, went about and done great works and things. See, that God manifested, proved that he was in this man. And now we become anointed with the same Spirit. Anointed Messiahs. Why? How can you be a Messiah? Because we are part of him. And as Brother Brian's been talking for the last probably 5 or 6 sermons, we were there in the beginning, part of him, or we were none of his. The same life that separated out of God, his only begotten son, we were there too. Because he cannot redeem anything that wasn't his. And what was his has always been. Messiahs of the last day, to shine forth the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to show that he is not dead, but in the form of the Holy Ghost, he is in his people, moving among his bride with a love affair to her, pouring out unto her himself. They are become one for the wedding supper, and the same signs promised by God in the same word is making his same manifestations. There is nothing less left for us to do but to believe it. And believe it is the substance. And that creates perfect faith. Just think how numb we are. Just think of that just a minute now. That's a lot to sink in, isn't it? But it isn't this body. It isn't the mistakes you make every day. You say, I make mistakes every day. Yeah, you better believe it. But I know what's in my heart. I know who controls my life. I know who makes my decisions. It's him. We don't do nothing unless we're told to do it. You don't do nothing unless you're told to do it. And as long as you're doing what he's telling you to do, we are manifesting what? Him.
Amen.
Yeah. This is hard to get to. And every time I start studying, I get like a rabbit. I go running after this thing and I run after that thing. So that's why we're here. We are going to eventually get to what the church is supposed to be doing in this hour, which kind of says it all in here. But I think it's so long. Now, the more I study about it, there is no way you can put it in one service. So we're just going to keep going a little bit. I already seen my next sermon in this message. So we'll dig into that on our next communion. But just remember, he is in his people. And who is his people? We are his people. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would instill it into our hearts. Lord, for the opportunity that might arise before us throughout the week and the people that we cross paths with, Father, I pray, Lord, that our life would shine. Lord, that they would know that you are here among us, in us. The things that we do, the things that we say, the way we act, Father, may they know that you are still here present with us. Father, we look forward to your coming. Help us ever be ready, Father, for those that are here in this building, your little bride that is gathered around the world, Father. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would come quickly. As time we know is short at hand, help us to be ever present and to be manifesting you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. At this time, we'll go ahead and change the order of service. If the brothers would go ahead and Brother Josh, if you would get a count. I already did 22 of the